This is Deanna, and our guest for the next hour and a half today is Mark R. Elsis. That's E-L-S-I-S. He's an environmentalist, a filmmaker, a poet, a web entrepreneur, and a writer. Well, he does a whole bunch of things. And I just posted some links in the chat room that he would like to share with you. And I will also post some of his websites. He's got a lot of websites. Anyway, Mark, welcome to the program.
Ceasefire, friendlies. I'm Pat F. Tillman, damn it.
What? What?
It was what Pat Tillman said before
the. Oh, yes, 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 yes. They murdered him.
Before they assassinated him. Which was, I don't know if you're hearing what I'm hearing, but I'm hearing your commercials in the background.
I don't hear the commercials. I just hear some.
Now I hear. Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I caught it right 2 seconds before you, stupid man. Anyway, now I can hear you clear. Yes, that was what Pat Tillman said before they assassinated him. And
Pat was going to come back. He was very popular. He was a football player. No, yes. Yeah, he was a football player. He would have come back. He was going to come back and tell the population exactly what was going on, that they were just over there protecting the opium crops for, you know, people like the Clintons and probably Bill Gates and some of these other people.
He wasn't. He wrote back to Noam Chomsky, which was the wrong person to write to.
Yeah.
And Noam Chomsky put it up the chain and
got him knocked off.
Yeah. And it was just a horrible thing. And remember, J.B. Campbell wrote a wonderful article on it called Killing Pat Tillman.
Right.
And I just wanted to mention that because Cindy lost her son and Casey, which was 18 days before that.
Yes.
So it was right next to each other.
Yes.
Anyway, I because Pat, you know, he was the poster boy. You know? He was an NFL, former NFL star, and he joined the Rangers after the Army Rangers with his brother after 9/11, and you know, he was the recruiting poster boy for these boys, these warmongers, and all of a sudden he became the anti-poster boy, so they had to whack his ass. And the way they did it, and the stories they put out, it's like everything.
His parents knew. His parents knew. I talked to his parents.
Oh yeah, they caught on after the
they knew
the fourth different lie they were told, you know, and the three groups of bullets within two or three inches in his head, which couldn't come from a machine gun 100 yards away. Anyway, it's just, if anybody wanted to read it, put in Killing Pat Tillman, J.B. Campbell. It's on a site I never go to, which is Veterans Today. But anyway, I reread it again last night because in honor of your first guest, Cindy, and the loss of her son, I just said, well, I have to give kudos to Pat because he got fooled and then he was trying to do the right thing.
Yes.
And that to me, I honor those people. As you know, John Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, John Lennon, these kind of people who did the right thing knowing that there's going to be bad repercussions from it. It's they have my heart and soul with them. So bless them. Bless you, Pat. I've been extremely busy the last 91 days since we've last talked. I've published my film online, Strawberry Fields, Keeping the Spirit of John Lennon Alive. And it's for free.
Where is it? I post it?
No, I don't think so. But I have started a channel on BitChute. Well, I've already uploaded more than 400 videos.
Well, I'll put it in the chat room.
All right. It's at bitchute.com/earthnewspaper. So it's very easy to get to. And you can see my film there by clicking. There's a small little icon in the upper right corner with Earth Newspaper on it. And you click on that, and it has a drop down, and you go to playlists. And then you click on Strawberry Fields Film, and the first link there is to the film for free. And I
okay, put it in the Skype box, and I'll post
okay.
it.
Yeah,
in the,
I will. I will.
And
then
the chat room.
You're only allowed 4 playlists in the beginning with BitChute. The other ones are with you. I have my 27 interviews with you. I have all my work and interviews with President John F. Kennedy and my writings. And the other a new one I just put up, I took down Dresden and I put up coronavirus. I have dozens and dozens of lectures, speeches, and articles that 3/4 or more are from doctors. Explaining the coronavirus. So
well, I've put some of them up, but not all of them.
And if anybody, I put out a daily, almost daily, it's pretty much every day, a comprehensive news daily, news and articles and videos. So if anybody'd like to receive it, I'm still here. It's at mark@loveearth.net if you want to email me. It's Love Earth is with one E, Mark, M-A-R-K at loveearth.net. And write subscribe in the subject line. Also, in the last 3 months, I've written 4 articles, and I've updated and republished an older article. And the first one, I got a lot of flack back from, and controversial, I suppose. It was a 21-page paper on climate change denial. And I'm not going to get into it now because we'll sort of butt heads, I suppose. But I cover everything that people are saying on both sides about this, and let people come to their own conclusions.
They've been messing around with the climate since the Vietnam War. That's where they were looking. They were looking on how to do it.
Yep.
That was their. They already said, what if we do this and make it to rain here or make it
seed the clouds and all that. And MIT has just come out and said they want to, block the sun. Anyway, but that's one. The
not
second
stupid
one.
Stupid people.
The second one was Good Friday, April 6, 1917, about how the Jews got us into war on that specific day. And the third piece I wrote was a rewrite, but it was only used to be only 3 pages long. Now it's 18 pages. It's called The Day the United States Died, Thursday, June 6, 1968, about the assassination of Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, which was a rewrite, and I updated it, was Stolen Election, the mathematical impossible discrepancies of the Florida and Ohio exit polls versus the final
result.
Yeah. And so that was number one in Google forever. That when I had it on stolenelection.net until, of course, Google 3 years and a week ago purged all my work.
People have got to get off Google. They've got to get off Gmail.
YouTube, that's right.
YouTube. Get off of those places. You're foolish if you have a Gmail account.
I just sent that out to this huge email list that I'm on, and I just noticed it 2 or 3 days ago, or 2 days ago. And I saw all these people with Gmail and Yahoo and AOL. These people are complaining about everything all the time, and they're really smart. Okay.
And I'm thinking, people email me from a Gmail account, and I can't believe it. I got rid of it. I used ProtonMail.
Yep. And that's what I told you. I said, look, I don't want to put you down, but it's really stupid of you to keep putting out, giving these people, you complain about everything, but yet you're using freaking Gmail.
Exactly. What's wrong with people?
How stupid can you possibly be? It only takes a few minutes to change it. Send it to your email list. Go on ProtonMail, or like me, use your own email. But if you can't get email like me, get ProtonMail. And nobody came back. Not one person. I thought I'd get avalanche with people saying, well, go F yourself, Mark. But nobody. Not
I
one.
I have 2 mails. I have one that was set up as a very independent email account, and then I have Proton Mail. Hey. Boy, I got it for Gmail, and don't use Google.
That's right.
Use Google for.
I just sent Tom Cowan, Dr. Cowan, matter of fact, 3 different emails, and I posted it on his YouTube account. I said when he first said that, I was trying to get the link off him. They never sent me the link so I could upload it on BitChute, which I told him about. And anyway, so I sent them very nicely. I said, look, and I sent them the articles that they're purging all the work for, that has anything to do with 5G and coronavirus.
Exactly.
I said, do not spend your time. And why are you enabling censors
when
you have itch, which is free speech? Why are you doing this? And I never even got a reply from him, which in three different emails to him and his daughter, Ashley. And so it's like, I said, finally, I sent him one yesterday. I said, look, you want to waste your time? Go ahead. I'm telling you with love, you're not going to last long there. You're going to put a lot of time and effort into it, and they're going to purge you.
Right.
And I said, that's it. Goodbye. It's like I've been writing Mercola. I write him because I get his daily emails. I write him back every day now for the last 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it's been. And I say, step up to the plate, Joe. Get off the fence, Joe.
Really? I get his stuff too.
Corona. And it's like, I said, look, you have you are who you are. I said, you should got to come out and say something strong about this. And mm-hmm. everybody sitting on the fence who has any, and I've noticed this from my work on 9/11. Okay, everybody ran away from me when I said it was Israel. I was like the first person in the world that came out. I wrote the timeline of the day, the stand down of the day, and three other minor papers on 9/11, like the godfather or grandfather of 9/11 work, I've been called. And my work was used in the first federal lawsuit. Of course, there was never any trials or lawsuits allowed, and da-da-da-da. But it's like
Dr. Wood went to the Supreme Court about it, and hers was she filed a lawsuit.
Yes,
and,
I know.
And I have her book, and I totally agree with everything that's in her book.
Well, I'm not going to get into controversy about 9/11. All I know is that it didn't happen
the way the media.
Well, I picked that on day one, and I wrote a major paper within 41 days of asking all these questioning September 11th, hundreds of questions, which I had a lot of them answered. And, I said, I'll debate anybody. And of course they don't debate you, but I got an interview with Chertoff's freaking nephew, which I didn't know was his nephew at the time, from Mechanics Daily, Popular Mechanics, where they tried to, ruin me and misinterpret what I said and da da da. Anyway, and not just me, a lot of people on 9/11. But anyway, so and the last piece that I wrote and published was 47 Days of Murder by Israel, and this had to do. It's a very short piece, but it's giving the background of in 2003 on March 16, 2003. Rachel Corrie was murdered.
Oh, yes. I've talked to her parents.
And that started it.
Yes.
And then and everybody knows Rachel Corrie. I have a major site for Rachel on rachel-corrie.com. I've had it since 2003. And I was just about to curse. Because I don't put up with that kind of stuff. And I'll out these bastards. And you're killing a young girl, and my own country doesn't stand up for it. It's like, what else do you really need to know? Anyway, before I get, because I'm not in the best of moods, and I've had enough.
I noted that.
Yeah. There's indignation in my voice, to say the least. And because of what I'm about to say after I get rid of over this into coronavirus, but the next person that was shot, and these were all young people. Okay, Rachel was like 23 years old. Brian Avery was the next person. And they were all helping. There were two young Americans and two young British. Okay, Brian Avery was the next person. He was shot in the face by the IDF.
Oh,
okay, he lived.
The mouse.
What?
The gentleman that was shot in the mouse. When they shoot you, they're very. It's very significant where you get shot. In other words.
Go ahead.
The map. So go ahead. Go ahead.
That's what I said about Martin Luther King.
Right. Exactly.
I put that out in a quote because it's not a coincidence where they shot Martin Luther King. They could have shot him between the eyes. They shot him in the mouth because of his oratory greatness.
Right.
And I didn't catch that forever. Sort of like, I don't know why, here I go tangentially jumping. I finally, I had the pictures of the earth. And there's always one picture of the earth, the one of Africa, and then... And finally, a few years ago, it dawned on me. I said, there's only one picture of the Earth. And when I started Love Earth and got the trademark back in 89, 90, I went to NASA and I asked them for all the pictures of the Earth. And they sent me some other ones, but they were horrible. But there's only one picture of the Earth that is ever used. In all advertising, you see it a million different ways, but it's only one, the same picture. And all of a sudden I realized, my God, what's exactly on top of the top of the earth? The exact top of the earth in that picture is what?
It's Israel.
And I just, all of a sudden it hit me, and a ton of bricks. I've been looking at this picture, forever, and I haven't noticed it. And there it's hidden in plain sight. Israel is at the top of the picture of the earth, of all pictures of the earth. Isn't that coincidental? Okay, let me get back to 47 Days of Murder by Israel. The third person was Tom Herndale, and he was assassinated 17 years ago today, April 11th, 2003. And Tom was between 4:30 and 5 p.m. while trying to escort children safely home from school in Rafah, Gaza Strip, occupied Palestine. An Israeli Defense Force a sniper, Tizar Harib, shot Tom Herndale, an international solidarity member, activist, in the head. Herndale was left in a coma until he died January 13, 2004.
Wow.
Okay. And his father's a barrister in England. And they got further than anybody else did. They didn't get anywhere with Israel. And the fourth person was another British person, James Miller, a filmmaker, and he was shot in the head too by a sniper. With a white flag out and his helmet on with saying media and all this. They shot him in the head and killed him instantly, Miller. So there's the four people that, and this all happened within 47 days. This was, and I say very shortly in this piece, this was done on purpose, all of these murders. And I believe they were coordinated, especially the last three, all shot in the head. I believe they were coordinated. They were done on purpose to send a message that we own your ass, America and Britain. We own your ass. You ain't going to do nothing about it. Don't send any more people here trying to do good stuff, because we'll whack them too. Okay? And that's exactly why they did it. Okay? This wasn't just separate incidents. Yes, they were separate incidents, but there was one motive behind it. All right. Now let me get on to what I really want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm glad I have a little comedic.
Okay. If you have any things that you want to put in the chat room, just give them to me in the Skype.
All right. I will during the break in 3 minutes or
okay.
so.
Okay.
So I want to say this disclaimer up front, which I never do. I did in my Holocaust revisionism. I put a disclaimer. Little good did it do. But the following that I'm going to talk to you about is the supposed coronavirus.
Yes.
It is not, I'm not telling this to instill fear in you, but to make you rise up, because everything we hold dear is now on the line. So, and I want to say this quote: "And he causeth all, both small and rich, and he cometh all, take three, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell,
yikes,
save he that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the numbers of his name."
Is that in Revelation?
"Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:16-18. Yes, the mark of the beast. And this is where we are. And I'm not a Bible thumper kind of person. I'm just a very spiritual person. But we are here. And people are not recognizing what is happening, the full extent, the end game of this. And I'm going to get into, I'm going to tangentially jump. I have 8 pages of notes that I've made.
Okay.
So I've just, and butt in any time.
Okay, give me some stuff to post, okay? Or you post.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
With you and me. It starts with you and me.
We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you.
All righty, we'll be we're back with our guest, and our guest is Mark R. Elsis, and I've just posted a bunch of links in the chat room, and that is spingola.chatango.com. So be sure and visit and see all the links. Okay.
I'd like to reiterate, if you want to become knowledgeable on this coronavirus subject, as I mentioned before, I have created a playlist on my bitchute.com Earth newspaper. So it's bitchute.com/Earth newspaper. You can see dozens of great articles, lectures, speeches, mostly by doctors that are real doctors, not these phony drug pushers, by clicking on the small Earth newspaper box in the upper right corner, then click on the drop-down that says playlist, then click on coronavirus, and you'll see all the links there. Okay? What we are witnessing now is a well-planned out game theory warfare, with the end result being a complete enslavement of us all. Think of the film Wag the Dog, but on steroids, and how easily they created and sold a war when there wasn't a war. Like the scene Old Shoe in that film, they created a war hero and sold it for the sympathy that they knew people would have for it. They are doing the same with the doctors and nurses now. Also, they're showing a supposed refrigerated trucks. I saw 2.5 weeks ago, Trump say this on his press release. I listened to him. And they had refrigerated trucks outside Elmhurst Hospital. Well, Elmhurst is where I was brought up. So I found it real interesting that they're using this. And to hold all the overflowing dead bodies.
Yikes, yes, or, I saw, or I, yeah.
Or I just saw now burying them in New York City in Hart's
right.
Field.
Right, oh.
Okay, this is psychological operations. This is.
Yeah.
Okay, this is pure and simple. This is Wag the Dog.
Right.
Okay, if anybody hasn't seen the film, I don't like Hollywood films, but this film, I believe it was by Barry Levinson with De Niro and Hoffman. It's a relatively very good film. It's telling you how they can manufacture, and quite easily, they can manufacture a war to cover up for a president that had a sexual escapade. As we just earlier this week, we lost that woman with Linda Tripp. 70 years old. Monica Lewinsky's girlfriend, who she outed. Anyway, that's what the film is, you know, covering up. Anyway, it's who, by the way, that lady, that's her name, isn't it, Linda Tripp? She gave the last meal to Vin Foster. I was always found that sort of interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, my gosh.
Yeah, before he was killed and then placed in the park. And
right, Dave, before and Dave, he jumped, Dave, uh-huh.
DC Dave has a wonderful book on that, huh?
So yes.
And he just came out with another wonderful book with somebody else about Thomas Merton.
Right, right.
An excellent book. And you know, people don't realize Thomas Merton was, you know, the top good guy in Catholicism.
Right.
In the world.
Exactly.
And he was whacked on December 10th, 1968. And the BS all around his assassination is just, it's too much to bear. It's like all the other assassinations. It's just yet another one. So we had not two major assassinations in 68. We had three. And Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and Thomas Merton. Okay. So by the way, this is all done to induce sympathy as well as hysteria. Mm-hmm. Right? And I want to say, let me put this in proper perspective. All right? There are at least 15,000 children under the age of 6 years old dying from starvation every day. So let me say, when was the last time you heard that Jewish media say anything about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Never. Never. Okay, 15,000 plus children under 6 years old are dying the worst possible death imaginable, starvation, every day. Okay. So I put this up. This is death tolls this year from January 1st to March 25th. And coronavirus at that time just had over 21,000 deaths. Death from seasonal flu.
Oh, yeah.
113,000. Death by malaria, 228,000. Suicides, 250,000. Road traffic accidents, 314,000. Deaths by HIV/AIDS, 390,000. Deaths caused by alcohol, 581,000. Deaths caused by smoking, 1,162,000. Deaths by cancer, 1.9 million. People who died of hunger, 2.4 million. Abortions, 9.9 million. And what are we talking about? We're talking about some exosome that they're trying to say it's a virus that's contagious? And that is just a bold statement, I said, which an exosome is a virus. A virus is an exosome. This is on the forefront of medicine that's coming out, and they're actually beginning to say this, not just Cowan and Kaufman. There are other major doctors, even Johns Hopkins, a major player, Johns Hopkins of all places, said this. That there, it's, and I've looked at many videos about this before I open my mouth up of reputable people to say this. And is it communicable? Or has the wool been put under our eyes since Louis Pasteur, that plagiarist like Einstein?
Right.
That said the germ theory.
That germ theory.
And in the Spanish flu influenza, which my grandfather's first wife, who was pregnant at the time, died. Okay, which was killing roughly 50 million people, and young people, and old people, all people of all ages, not just this one that's killing people with so many different other ailments, and mostly over 70 and mostly over 80. And they're now saying, oh, every test that we have, everybody that dies is going to be dying of this.
Wow. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back with our guest, and our guest is the one and only Mark R. Elsis.
Okay. Angry Mark.
Angry Mark, yes.
Perturbed,
it's okay.
Mark. Righteous indignation.
Angry. Yes, that's what you have.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Well, here's something. The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Yes.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes, he said that. And he's as guilty as the rest of them.
Of course they are. And from his 20-team mule of borax on, and shilling for everybody. Anyway, by the way, who put the hit on him on March 30th, 1981? Oh, that's right. It was George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Hinckley family knew the Bush family forever, okay?
Yes.
And I've looked into this. Now this is all gone, this information. And Hinckley never shot Reagan, okay? He was shot by a fachette from above, all right, and he was going to be taken to Bethesda so they could finish him off if he wasn't already dead.
Wow.
But they went to George Washington and they made him live. I have another funny story that I wrote about picking up Alexander Haig in my taxi, who, by the way, was in on this, huh? I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. That day. I'm going to tell you the story, might as well, real succinctly. I was driving my taxi one night, and I see this couple, and I notice, holy blank, it's Alexander Haig and his wife. And they get in, and right away, we had telepathy right away, me and him, right back and forth. I'd never had this with anybody else like this in my life. It was, he knew that I despised his ass, but yet I had a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw right through it. And he said, we're going to McMullen's. He goes, and with a real snide way, do you know where that is? And I said, oh, yes, I know where it is. It's on 77th Street on the east side of 3rd Avenue. And he was like, ah. And so I took him there. And during this back and forth, I was saying, you piece of blank, 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 blank. Well, I had a smile on his face. And he was telling me, go screw yourself back. Without talk.
Oh, right. and can have telepathy with people.
I never had it like this before in my life. And I was trying, and I was saying, my God, this guy sees through my smile. I was like, wow. Okay, I get him to McMullen's. His wife gets out first. I turned to get the money from him. Okay, I was in a little Peugeot 504 taxi, greatest cab in the world. And I turned to get the money from him. He puts out I think it was $3. He looks at me in the eye for like a second or two, takes the money back and drops it on the back floor.
Wow.
And at that very moment, his wife saw this. I didn't notice this because I was looking at him and saying, you bleep. Mm-hmm. And his wife saw this and she goes, Alexander, pick that up.
Wow.
And I was like, he got nabbed and he had to pick it up. And I said, oh man, who owned your ass, Alexander?
Wow.
And so that's my little story I don't know how I jumped to these. Reagan to freaking Reagan's assassination to they're trying to kill him, and it's George Herbert Walker Bush, and the guy with the nuclear football left, and he's Secretary of State, sixth in line, but he says I'm in charge because he's trying to cover for Bush, and the Hinckleys know each other, and Hinckley didn't do it right. So there's a fast overview of Reagan's assassination, and it's like it just from then on Reagan wasn't in charge, and he knew it.
Right. Okay. Oh, he knew it when he went into it.
Yes, yeah. It's voodoo economics and all that from Bush, right. who was head of the CIA for 355 days, but the building's named after him, and he just began in. And by the way, George Herbert Walker Bush, who I'm 99.9% sure was arrested, one of the 12 people that arrested in Dealey Plaza on November 26, 1962.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Nobody will tell you that. No one.
He was
arrested and got away with it.
Yep.
All right?
Did.
And he was arrested because he looked guilty coming out of the Dow Tech building.
Yeah.
The same thing when he was giving the eulogy at Ford's freaking funeral. He said he brought up the Kennedy assassination in the middle of nowhere and then had a big smile on his face for like a half a second.
Because they like to expose themselves. So they like to say it and get away with it, knowing only a few people are going to pick it up.
Exactly. In your face. Right.
Yeah.
I noticed this, by the way, with all the everything I've uncovered from Kennedy assassination, 9/11, and everything in between, and Holocaust and everything. And I've noticed that and I've said this many times on your show, they do it so sloppy. So once you scratch the surface, you see that they're playing with you.
Right.
It's like, and we got away with it. And what are you going to do about it? As
right.
my, you know, the tough guys in New York will say, what are you going to do, huh?
Yeah.
You ain't going to do nothing. Okay. Well, by the way, I'm all for peace and love. And I've always been. I've been a loving, peaceful person. And I took my gloves off the night they assassinated John Lennon. And I'm still for peace and love. But I've had it. And my line in the sand I've said this for more than two decades. My line in the sand is, they are never going to vaccinate me. All right? And I'm saying this publicly. You ain't ever going to get me a forced vaccination. And I'm not the only one. If I am me full of love saying this to you, okay, you know how many other people? Good luck, boys.
Yes.
You were asking for it, you're going to get it. That's what I'm saying. It is now time for mass civil disobedience. And it must start right now. Wake up from your slumber, get off your knees, or you will soon be a complete slave.
Mm-hmm. More of a slave than you are now.
Well, that's right, exactly. You know, I wrote that. I'm going off the script here. Right, and I was going to put that when I wrote it this two nights ago, that one little passage, more than a slave than you are now, and you finish it. Bless your heart, honey. I love it.
Yeah, see, we are, you know.
Yeah, because you're more than a slave than you are. That's why I said a complete slave. We already are a complete slave, but
right.
Anyway, we have to understand we have nothing left to lose. Be aware of the situation we are now in, okay? This is the way I feel. You become dangerous. And this is what Kennedy said, quote by him, that said, if you make peaceful revolution unavailable, you'll get violent revolution.
Right.
Badly paraphrasing, but that's what he said. They're pushing us into this. And even me are having these thoughts. These thoughts of, don't try it with me. All right? Because I'm not going to be rearranging the deck chairs on a Titanic.
Right. Right. And there was something else I read just recently. They were telling people, oh, just go on the Titanic, just go back to your rooms and don't worry about things. And that's what they're telling us now. Just stay in your homes and don't worry about it. We got it covered. No, it's like telling us to go to our rooms on the Titanic.
The Titanic is I know a lot about it. Like Michael Kahn's Piper was an aficionado of the Titanic.
Oh yes,
I know, and it's always gotten me. And there's a few things that come out recently. I put up a couple of documentaries on it on my BitChute channel, if you want to search on that for Titanic. There was a coal fire in the Titanic.
Yeah.
And it the exact same place it got hit.
Yes. Funny,
there was a coal fire. Oh, the imagine the as soon as they said it was an unsinkable ship, God came in and said, "Oh, really, boys?"
Yes.
Because if they hit that iceberg head on, it wouldn't have sunk the ship.
Right.
It was the perfect, and it was there was this weather phenomenon of cold in they were coming into the Gulf Stream off the Newfoundland Stream or something, and it became. Like a mirage. You couldn't see it. They only had 35 seconds or so warning. They
right.
should have seen out 30 minutes, the two boys looking out. They only had,
right.
they had no warning at all. And so all of these things came into play, and they were going full speed, almost full speed, not quite, but almost full speed because of they were going to run out of coal because they were the coal fire. And
right.
108 different, when they went into Southampton, 108 of the coal fire guys left because they said, "What the hell? I'm not gonna." And they covered it all up, and they, you know, they didn't let anybody on the ship know that there's a massive coal fire going on. It's uncontrolled.
Wow.
This is what's happening now. So you want to talk? Thank you for bringing up the Titanic because it's very all the metaphors are apt for now.
And right.
Here's another quote. It's long, but so we have to understand we have nothing left to lose. See, and that's when you're free. And right now, I'm free. Be aware of the situation we are now in. Here's a quote. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return a home alive and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if, during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there on their lyres, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and every step on the staircase, but had understood that they had nothing left to lose.
Right.
And had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, and I put in pitchforks, or what else was at hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered shortages of offices and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have grounded to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We were purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Right.
This is where we are now, boys and girls.
Right, because keep in mind, there's just a few of them. There are more of us.
My God, yes. This is
yes.
The thing is, they had no awareness of the real situation, he says. We do. I am going to be making you aware for the next 45 minutes to the best of my ability.
Right.
What the situation truly is, and you never hear me talk like this. This is, we are at the end game here. We're going to be microchipped. The world is going to turn on a dime. This is not going away. They're going to put. By the way, this was a Rockefeller Institute freaking thing from 2010. They wrote about this. This whole thing. This is why I'm talking. It's game theory warfare with bio warfare. This is well planned out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And the whole thing. Look, I'm going to get into it. It's just. By the way, I skipped over one part. Right after Reagan, I was supposed to say. You know something real. this has got me. I was going to write a little piece on this. You know something is really wrong. With the men in this country, when the bravest person is trans Chelsea Manning. Huh? And I see Chelsea Manning, used to be Bradley Manning.
Right.
This woman, I call her what she wants to be called, this woman now, is the bravest thing in America, bravest person in America, as far as I'm concerned. So funny. I sort of see it as almost humorous. Who else? Look, I know how people kowtow I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but as like I said, with 9/11, all sorts of other things throughout my life, I can tell you how people with the slightest bit of authority kowtow and bend down and get on their knees and kiss ass.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this person, Chelsea Manning, they had to throw her into solitary confinement. How many times? Because she wouldn't rat on Julian Assange. Everybody else.
Exactly.
Everybody, yes. All these brave ass, big ass, right wing men and left wing little pieces of, they would have all turned on her, on him. This girl didn't. And I just find it really amazing. A trans person has more balls than anybody else.
Exactly.
It just.
Literally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, pun intended. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so since late February, I have been saying that this was not even an epidemic and light years away from a pandemic. Why? As soon as I read part of a Wall Street Journal article from February 25th saying that China, with a population of around 1.4 billion, had 900 plus cases of coronavirus on February 3rd, and 3 weeks later on February 24th, there was only 9 new cases. This, along with China having only about 2,500 deaths from December through February. The next thing I researched right away was how many deaths are there for the flu each year? And the number is 654,000.
Right.
Although I believe it's a lot higher, but this is what they are telling you. Knowing that there was only about a 2-month or so curve on the supposed virus and the extreme low death count in China and some other countries also, huh, in the beginning, I understood there was nothing to fear from this. I just looked at it mathematically. And I said, this is a bunch of BS. Real quick, I was the first person I know that had the beeps to say this. Before anybody, everybody's still on the fence, everybody's still going, not everybody, okay? There were some people that beginning to catch on, but not with, like, mathematically. So it's, so, but I have a, I've been waiting for, and here's another thing. But I've been waiting for a real pandemic for just over 20 years. Why? Because 20 years ago, I wrote a paper, Rainforest Biodiversity Scale of Destruction. And in this paper, I stated, our foolish profit-driven destruction of virgin rainforest land area causes somewhere between 93 and 1,609 rainforest species extinctions per day.
Right.
In brackets. I was the first person on Earth to point this out mathematically, that we are in this middle of a 6 mass extinction, this one caused by humanity. I did this when almost every top biologist was saying there was only 1 or 2 species going extinct per day. The wide disparity of these species extinction numbers is because of 4 variables that the best scientific consensus has yet to agree upon. And within 6 years of me saying that at least 93 species and up to 1,609 are going extinct, within 6 years, every major biologist in the world was saying at least 100 species going extinct. And now they're saying at least 200. Okay? I went on to say, we are but a strand in the fabric of life, all intricately interdependent on one another. And yet here we are, in the mere geological blink of an eye, eroding the very foundation of our own existence with mass species extinctions. This 6th mass extinction period on Earth that we are insanely causing by the suicidal annihilation of the web of life will very soon bring about our own extinction.
Right.
Stated this because I realized that by making hundreds of species go extinct daily, by the way, I believe this is the number one sin of the universe, making another species go extinct. We will upset the checks and balances found throughout nature. And sooner or later, we will make a beneficial species go extinct that has the check of a detrimental species, causing something like the Black Plague to manifest. I can't make this known enough that the work that I did 20 plus years ago, I stated this, that we're going to get a real one. And it's going to be because of us, because we wiped out a species that nature has checks and balances throughout all of life. And I've been waiting for a real one. And so I looked at this and I said, oh, the real one. And I looked at it within like 8 minutes. I said, oh, this is a bunch of BS. Oh, my God. Here comes the end game. Okay, so since 9/11, the United States has spent well over $100 billion on bioweapons, and who knows how much more under the black budget. Okay, that's up front, over $100 billion. We're spending over $7 billion a year now. on bioweapons. Fort Detrick and everything, you know.
Oh, right, yes.
And here's the here's another major thing. Tomorrow is Easter Sunday. And people aren't allowed to go to Mass. The separation of church and state is gone. The church has capitulated to the state.
You're right.
We have no spirit left. This is, I cannot say how meaningful this is. E. Michael Jones put out a 56 minute a piece about that I have up on my channel also. It is wonderful about this one little situation here, about the spirit of what is happening. There's other ones about the spirit, but he just did it in 56 minutes. That it's brilliant. This is so scary, and the church better get a set of boop too. And they don't.
Exactly.
You only see small pastors here and there saying, or the priest in Italy, okay, that was carrying the cross that supposedly had Jesus' blood on it since 1692 or something. He said, "Screw you, man. Go ahead, arrest me."
Wow.
We for the first time since what, 1752? No, it was 350. I forget how many years, but it was like hundreds of years. The St. Paddy's Day parade was canceled.
Okay. Wow.
That means literally nothing compared to Easter Sunday. All right, this whole spiritual, we're dealing with demonic forces and they're stopping our spirit.
Exactly. Wow. If you want to send me that.
Oh, sure. I'll find it for you.
Okay. Our guest, who is giving us a lot of great information, and providing some interpretation for it, the separation of church and state, that is very meaningful. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Mark.
It had
to be, Deanna.
Yeah.
I can't make this.
Yes.
But there's a lot of things like this, but this is a major thing. Okay. It's hard to ignore the facts that are that basic freedoms, freedom of assembly, freedom of worship, freedom of speech, privacy, have gone out the window. Not only in the United States, but almost in every Western country. And the only two countries, I'm going to jump to something I was going to say later. The only two countries in the Western world are Belarus and Sweden.
Yeah, we all want to move to Sweden. Okay, we'll be right back.
What was that about? That was the fastest break?
Yeah, well, that was really fast. We'll be right back.
They're cutting me off.
Okay, so are we? We're back then.
It was censoring Mark.
Okay,
That's Hal. Come on, Hal, huh?
Yeah.
Open the cargo bay doors, Hal.
Okay, let's let's go on with this.
Okay, another telltale, and this is real important. I came up with this myself, but I've seen it everywhere, and I came up with this real early. Another telltale way to confirm that we are being played in an all-encompassing elaborate hoax is the following, and this is the bottom line. No matter how many deaths they try to attribute to coronavirus, the total number of deaths for each of the past 10 years versus the deaths this year in all countries will show that this is a complete fabrication. that is, until they know we know this, and they change the numbers too. But from what I've seen so far, the number of deaths are about the same this year versus each of the last 10 years. So they can say that, you know, the whole, like Cindy brought up, and I was going to bring up later. Yeah, the Minnesota doctor and other doctors. He's not the only guy. I put that video up about the state senator and doctor from Minnesota who got the Minnesota's health board or whatever, sent him a letter to bring him to the CDC and saying, even if people don't even have the coronavirus, you say it is on their desk.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. That's so what they're saying.
What
yes.
I'm telling, and what I'm just saying here bypasses that BS.
Yes.
The total number of deaths for each of the past 10 years versus the deaths this year in all countries will show that this is a complete fabrication. And that's what it's showing now. I've looked into this somewhat. I was going to write a major paper on this, and I just can't do everything. But this, I can't say how important this one little piece is. They can play their little game of everything's the coronavirus death. Yeah, BS. You're going to have to change the numbers in every country, and they will.
Right. That's what they've been doing.
Yes. They've done this, by the way, with my rainforest study. I look back 7 years later, and all the rainforest destruction numbers have changed. I did the same thing with my overpopulation study. The population is crashing. No, it's not crashing. I have all the numbers. It's crashing. It's been crashing since 87. I have all the numbers. We've talked about this years ago. And I'm one of the numbers are crashing, and yet they changed all the numbers completely.
Wow. Okay, we will be right back momentarily. Stay with us. I'm posting some links in the chat room, so be sure and visit the chat room, and that is spingola.chatango.com. Get the links there.
Thank you, RBN. Thank you, John. Thank you, Deanna.
Because thank you, RBN. Yes, absolutely.
Because there are not many people that would let me get on the soapbox and rant the way I'm ranting right now. And it's not a rant. It's just I'm putting together... Okay. Bring massive amounts of fear-mongering like we have never seen before. That's what they're doing. To quell dissent, crash the economy, and kill small businesses while making huge businesses rich. Chip and track people. Bring in a cashless society so every transaction will show up. The end of currencies into crypto slavery. And install a social credit system like China, where they can cut off all of your rights if they want. This is in a nutshell what is going to happen. This was AI and facial recognition. If anybody doesn't know about what the social credit is in China, they look for China, by the way. It's really funny. I'm jumping again and roll around again, but Wuhan City, 11 million people, horrible air pollution. And it was the poster
and
boy.
And 5G.
And it was the poster boy for the first rollout of 5G on the planet.
Right.
Okay. And that there's this book about all the so-called epidemics or pandemics before it was a major breakthrough in electromagnetic frequencies. Okay. From radio to radar to satellites. By the way, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and two other major companies are putting up tens of thousands of satellites.
Right.
To bathe the world in 5G everywhere from like 70 degrees north to 70 degrees south, everywhere on the planet. You're not going to have any say in this matter. They're already up there. June Musk has already put them up there. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So far, at least 6.3 trillion that we know of has been used to prop up overwhelmingly big businesses in Wall Street, with around 5% going to us and small businesses. I say that amount of money being given away to Jewish Wall Street will go up drastically. Okay, and I'm telling you, it's going to go up. When a real pandemic happens, it happens in waves. The first wave is the worst, and it happens. It can come out in smaller waves after. And they're already put out in the New York Times and places where this, they can have 5 or 6 ripples every couple of months for the next 21 months. Okay? So they're going to keep on throwing the fear at us. And I've already got it. I'm on Facebook, and I was going to leave it because, by the way, they've been, some of the stuff that I put up, they just won't allow put up. It's just like everybody. But it's like more and more things. I put up, I had all 9 episodes of the Man Who Killed Kennedy. They wouldn't let me put it up. I wrote them. I said, go F yourself, will you?
Do you know that in China, there are probably, 200 people that run the entire country? There are probably 200 communists over there.
Right.
The rest of the people are just people like you and me. It's always a very, very, very small group of people who run things. And we all need to understand that. It's just a very, very small group.
And people follow orders very well.
As yes.
They try to always attribute to the Nazis.
Right.
You know? Yeah, just like everybody was delusional. I put out I sent it to you on purpose too. On March 14th, 1938, when Hitler went into Austria, mm-hmm. and you see, you know, by the way, they had a referendum, and 98.74% of the people voted for they wanted to go into with Germany. 99.74%. So that, you know, 0.25%. Who could they possibly be?
Right, exactly.
He came in, and everybody, but they were on the mass hysteria. He was, you know, the crazy man had them under his spell. It's like, no,
right, sure.
You're the crazy man that have us under the spell. We would have had a lot better world if this man was in charge. And enough of that. So the new pharma vaccines that are now pushing and fast tracking to cure, in quotes, this, will be using RNA for the first time ever. This is something brand new, never happened. I'm not going to get into the science because I want to get through a lot of stuff. Also, remember that you can't sue Big Pharma for that vaccine.
Right. Vaccine you can't sue them.
This is sort of like the Holocaust story being illegal. And that's the same thing. And by the way, who's giving you these stories? It's the same people behind it. Mostly, overwhelmingly, the same people that you're not allowed. So these vaccine companies, by the way, and the vaccine business is worth more than $60 billion. But if you include the drugs that are marketed to supposedly help alleviate the harm from vaccines, Big Pharma now takes in over $600 billion. So they push the vaccines that are making them around $60 billion, but they know all the side effects that are going to happen, so they can push another $550 billion worth of garbage freaking pills on you.
Exactly.
Now, listen, let's Mussolini these people. All right? Let's use these people as piñatas.
Yeah.
Hang them up by their balls and use them as piñatas. I've had enough.
Okay.
It's just, excuse me for being rude. And just this week, forced vaccinations, a law passed in Denmark.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. And the other companies, Germany and other countries, they're in the legislature for these forced vaccination laws.
Well, you have to see who's in charge in those countries. Now, you brought up Sweden. And they're going on with their life as if nothing happened because
almost,
you know what?
Nothing.
Nothing is happening.
Right. Almost nothing. Right. They can congregate up to 50 people, blah, 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 blah. But Belarus, the president of Belarus, I have it later on his name and everything. He said, go screw yourself. You bunch of idiots. More or less.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's really the only country in the whole West that said that. Even the guy in Hungary came out against this. And the president of Hungary, who's done a lot of good things. Anyway, but so quarantine at home is like prison. Arresting people for lying on a beach alone. A father playing with his son in the park.
Right.
And arresting people for not wearing masks. Which, by the way, masks are next to useless because the pores are way too big to stop the so-called virus.
Exactly.
These fucking idiots know this.
Yes.
I mean, how stupid are we? Anyway, Los Angeles has announced that they're going to pay people to snitch on their neighbors. Their mayor said, I quote, "You know the old expression about snitches. Well, in this case, snitches get rewards. We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe."
Oh, my gosh.
Stasi, the East German Stasi are here.
Yes.
So we have, by the way, this is a police state contagion, they're using bioweapons. This was started, there's a document that was put out by the Rockefeller Foundation and Global Business Network. It's called Scenarios for Future Technology and International Development. It's put out in May 2010. I'll repeat that. Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. I'm not going to get into all the elaborateness of, go read it. You won't believe it. It's something in there called lockstep. And what it is what's happening now. It's a blueprint for this is exactly how to take over a society, the world. And it's going to happen in waves. Like I said, it's going to happen over the next 21 months, and it's not going to get better unless we stop it. I cannot state this strongly enough, as if I have been the strongest on any interview I've ever given in my whole life. And rightly so. And I'll come out to be true, like I have in everything else I've ever done in any major work that I've ever done. Yeah, I made mistakes along the way, and here and this, that, and the other thing, because I used to believe people that they would tell the truth, like I was brought up to do. That's the only way I was a sucker, and until I realized, oh my God, some of these people are just psychopathic liars. Which, by the way, are
exactly
all right. So, and then you have. I'll just read the one paragraph. Then the scenario gets very interesting. This is this document I'm saying. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their authority and imposed airtight rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks in entries to commercial spaces like train stations and supermarkets. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities struck and even intensified. In order to protect themselves from the spread of the increasing global problems, from pandemics and transnational terrorism to environmental crisis and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. Okay, now that leads me to Gates and Fauci, whatever his name is. They have been in bed together forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Fauci was the point man who pushed a poisonous and very deadly AZT onto all the gay homosexual men who supposedly had so-called AIDS. He killed tens of thousands of these poor suckers, all the while taking credit for doing a great job. This is not his first rodeo, this boy.
Wow.
This boy has a long freaking history of killing people with poisonous injections. Gates, who couldn't stop a virus in his software, is the point man to stop this.
Oh, right. Yes, exactly.
Gates, who the same person thinks the earth is overpopulated, wants to save your life with a vaccination, quite possibly the one that he has a patent on. Priceless. Gates also put in place the total corrupt Ethiopian director of the World Health Organization. He's a great point man to have in one's pocket when one wants to declare a pandemic without the numbers backing it up, which he did on March 11th, a day after a lot of money, I'm not going to get into transactions, but Gates did. Okay.
Right.
Gates predicted coronavirus-like outbreak in 2019 Netflix documentary. This Dr. Fauci is on the leadership council for Bill Melinda Gates Foundation. Deborah Birx is a board member of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, Malaria, which is all founded by Bill and Melinda Gates. That's the guy next to Trump, the bitch next to Trump all the time. She's not a bitch, but anyway, liar.
No.
Robert Redfield, current director of the CDC, was a founder of the Institute of Human Virology. Also received $31.8 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Fund. This boy, who I used to own his name, his legal name, William Henry Gates III. I owned Comnet and org at one point, and I said, "Come and sue me, you."
Okay. Yeah.
And he didn't. And I was trying to get him to sue me, like I tried to get the Council on Foreign Relations when I owned their name. Come on, sue me. I dare you. Everybody would else capitulate in fear. I said, come on, I dare you. And they didn't. And it's Council of Foreign Relations and Gates. Gates is, oh my God. Talk about the Antichrist coming back. It almost seems like this boy is the poster boy for this, because behind the scenes, this has been going on for at least 10 years.
Oh, longer.
This plan, I know it's much longer. I know it's forever long.
Yes.
But they've ramped it up over the last 10 years. And this boy is been planting money everywhere and buying everything. He put the guy in at the World Health. He's the guy who created the pandemic. He came out and said, there's a pandemic, everybody live. This guy has a long, he's a freaking, the most person in Ethiopia history, perhaps.
Exactly.
This biologist. Anyway, so they pick these psychopaths on purpose because they're psychopaths themselves.
Right.
You have Event 301. I mean, Event 201, which was a 3.5-hour pandemic tabletop talk held at the Pierre Hotel in New York, where my reception was held when I got married, and it was from the Bill and Melinda Gates were there, and also John Hopkins, okay, was sent to were there. And this happened on October 18th, 2019. It's just funny that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And John Hopkins. John Hopkins has like the major site for the fear mongering of all. Mm-hmm. Look at all the numbers. Real coincidental. Okay. And first of all, here I'll go jump to the next one. First, these guys said between 2 million and 2.4 million would die in the United States. Now they're down to 60,000. So their first crazy fear mongering numbers were around 40 times off, not 40% off, 40 times. When you first hear a story, that is the one you remember, not the retraction printed on page 36. They know this. So they've scared everybody into that it is a real pandemic. And they put this out when people don't take the 10 minutes that I could figure it out in. When I saw, like I told you, with the first story on the Wall Street Journal, and I could figure it out within 8-10 minutes. That I knew the numbers, or it's laughable. It's like the numbers in the Holocaust, or whatever. It just, so, are we still online?
Yes.
Every other commercial, by the way, and every other commercial on TV is from Big Pharma.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And at night, the other commercial seems to be lawyers suing Big Pharma for their poisonous hurting people. And the U.S., there's only two countries in the world, and you know this. There's only two countries in the world that allow big pharma commercials on the TV, New Zealand and the United States.
Right.
Okay, so let's get these people off our TV. Already hundreds of people have created videos showing empty hospitals all over the United States.
Exactly. And yes.
Hospitals are telling, the hospitals tell doctors they'll be fired if they speak to news media.
Right.
So hospitals and nurses are now under a self-imposed, we'll fire your ass if you tell the news media that what's really going on. As I stated before, the CDC has stepped in and got all 50 states to send all their doctors a note to saying everything is now coronavirus death. Okay? So this is the Fed stepping in every which way. And you have another World Health Organization, WHO official. We may have to remove family members from their homes. I had this on video. Okay, it was on Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. And it's only like 1 minute video, but he's saying, we're going to do it really nice. We're going to take your family members from your home really nicely.
Wow.
This is from Reason.org, the Libertarian Boys. The Justice Department reportedly asked Congress for indefinite detention powers to fight coronavirus. Let me repeat that. The Justice Department reportedly asked Congress for indefinite detention powers. They'll never let go of this. There goes habeas corpus. There goes our whole, what is left to the no-hide justice system that we have. Belarus president warns global elites using crisis to try to reshape world order. He actually came out and said it. That was the person I was talking about before. Belarus is a former satellite of the Soviet Union. This type of outbreak has occurred three times in the recent past. Round one, 2002 with the SARS coronavirus. Round two, 2005 with the blue, the bird flu, the H5N1. Round three, 2009, the swine flu, H1N1, with about a 1.6% mortality. And you remember all the bad side effects from the vaccines that they gave. By the way, they was people, what is it called, necolepsy? People just went to sleep and brains and all this stuff. And so now we have round four. So they've been practicing this kind of thing. The vast majority of people who are dying are over 70 with underlying medical problems, many with multiple medical problems. If you supposedly come down with this virus, there's an 8% mortality rate from 70 to 79. And so that means 92% of people recover. And 14.8% of over 80, that means 85.2% recover. Under that, the numbers go down tremendously. Okay, and this is not, I'm telling you, from everything I know, and I've said it earlier, and I didn't get into it. And these RT-PCR tests to determine the presence of COVID is totally arbitrary. I'm not going to get into science of it, but it's total BS. They can amplify these things. And look, we have 280 trillion viruses, so-called viruses in our system.
Oh, exactly.
280 trillion. We only have 50 trillion or so blood cells. Okay? What is happening is it's an environmental catastrophe. What happens with an environmental catastrophe such as a new EMF, higher EMF that's happened over the last 100 years, and also with, like Wuhan, unbelievably bad air pollution. By the way, Northern Europe, in Italy, unbelievably bad air pollution. And
right.
It's respiratory, huh? Duh. And you have, and everybody knows about the 5G and the 60 gigahertz in the water, and that people are suffocating. There's another doctor, Dr. Sidell at New York City doctor, said it's like people are like they're climbing Mount Everest. They can't breathe. They can't breathe. They're suffocating. No oxygen.
Right.
So this is exactly what 5G does at 60 gigahertz. Okay. Not that that's rolled out right now all at once, but what you have here with these things called exosomes. Exosomes are viruses. What they are there for is to help us. All right? That what happens is we get environmental damage into our system through everything that we're doing now. Everything. And what happens is the cells secrete an exosome, to fight it. And that's what a virus is. A virus
right.
is actually a good thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. No, it's going to tell you this.
Okay. We'll be right back. Yeah.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if
right.
we take the lead.
We are back with Mark R. Elsis, and okay, I don't want to interrupt, but just continue.
Don't you interrupt me, damn it!
No, continue.
I believe, and I've been saying this for a long time, ever since you had him on, Resonance Beings of Frequency, the film, the English lad who
mm-hmm.
created it, a wonderful mm-hmm. documentary. By the way, I have that up also, and it's in the coronavirus playlist. I believe that the telecommunication industry will soon make the tobacco industry look like a bunch of choir boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I can't understate that. So, and we have I sent you an article. Is coronavirus contagious? And it's very, it very much seems like I said. Look, all these toxins are coming into us. This consensus is beginning to happen on this, although not like mainstream yet, but doctors, real doctors, even doctors that are affiliated, have nothing left to lose in their life. They're older. Like with John Hopkins, have come out and said, yes, the exosomes are viruses. What happens is we're getting poisoned. The cell knows it's about to get invaded by the poisons. It lets out, it secretes what is known as a virus or an exosome. It's an exosome. And that exosome comes and cleans up the freaking garbage in our system so it doesn't kill the cell. And once it becomes overburdened, we have too much garbage in our system, we produce too many of these. This is what is happening. What it is, it's a messenger. Okay, when I was a kid, when I was really young, I told all my friends who, I had a lot of bright friends, Ivy League guys and vice president of Columbia Pictures and players that played with Michael Milken anyway, and regular guys too in my neighborhood. And we're all middle class kids. I said to them, the trees talk to each other. And they said, mm-hmm. oh, Mark, there you
no,
go.
I do.
Well, this is 45 years ago, Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, Mark, you're crazy, Marcus. Look at what he's talking about. And, of course, I was right. And it's not me being right. I just was on the forefront of science. And so this is the same thing. It's very akin to this, is that the viruses that are the so-called viruses that they're supposedly seeing, the poisoning of it, we're poisoning. It's not the cause of it. It's the result of it. Okay, we're being poisoned from everything we're doing,
right?
And especially this extra radiation of 5G now is putting a lot of people over the edge, and it always has over the last 100 years. Every time they roll out some new kind of EMF, stronger ones, X amount of people can't cope with it.
Right. And the minute they introduced electricity, things started going downhill.
And radio, absolutely. And radar and satellites. And the first,
all the rest, yes.
The first wireless technologies, and the second, and third, and the fourth, now the fifth. And this is totally different, the fifth, than the first four. And not totally, but yes, totally. And I'm not going to get into all that because there's no time left. But I can't state this enough. So what you have is these things are telling us that we're being poisoned environmentally. This is not the virus doing it. It's the virus actually telling us, you freaking idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, you're being poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, of course, this is the last thing they're going to tell you. But this is on the forefront of science. These exosomes, they're the same exact size as viruses. They are viruses, okay? You don't need me. I've looked into this enough. I said, oh, my God, of course. Duh. Mathematically, it's the same. And enough really bright people also concur. Dr. Kaufman and Cohen and many others and that have the wherewithal to come out and say it. And I see on the bottom of these guys' pages in the comments, you know, you're going to be suicided for saying this.
Right.
And that overwhelming people put out the fear, and I say, stop telling them that. They know this already. And maybe for me for saying this, who knows? I don't care. Come on, get me. I should be dead 18 times already. Good luck. Like I'm scared of you people? Like I'm scared of 9/11 when you follow me around and tap my phone? Give me a break. Or you infiltrated me when I ran somebody for president of the United States? Or I threw rallies in front of the United Nations and the White House and the New York Times and everything else? And you always did all you could to try to stop me because I'm a major organizer? Screw you. You evil, demonic people. You sold out people for mammon.
Mm-hmm.
When the world is going down now.
And it's always been about that, the love of money. Yeah.
Damn right it has. And that's all it's all the people care about. It's just beyond, amazing. And I'm telling you, as I said, I might have almost sounded too, like, almost fanatical. I cannot stress it enough. We're here. We're at the point now. We have to have complete mass civil disobedience. It's the only, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. By the way, he said, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I stick by his number, 66 million Russians died at the hands of primarily Jew-run Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right? Yeah. So he realized, and he was in the gulag.
Three or four people at the top. Yep.
Yes. And all of a sudden, right, and you have Bill Gates, and I've seen everything. He's pulling all the strings. He's the front man.
Yes.
He's the front man behind the scenes, okay? But he's actually come out. You know, and said we need certificates and bad things are going to happen to this guy. You know, I believe Dante has the ninth circle of hell for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's for. I think he has Bill and Melinda on it right now.
Yes.
And all these other people, like, look, we come back again. I believe in reincarnation because there's scientific proof of it. And so this is not going to bode well. Bless us all. Don't fall for it, and pass this on to as many people as you can. And if you want to email me, mark@loveearth.net. I love you, Deanna. Bless you, RBN.
Love you too. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back momentarily.